Thank you very much.
No point.
No point. Okay.
Can someone put the microphone on? Rav Schechter spoke earlier tonight. It could be a burden for him to project loudly.
I'll try.
Is there anyone here who can arrange to have the microphone put on?
Have to push a button.
No, it's not the button. It's probably the button. First, we have to get the microphone.
Yeah. We don't have a Nobel Prize winner. Physics.
My Schechter wants to know if the Nobel Prize winner in physics is here.
Yeah.
Maybe he can help us.
Maybe not works. Oh, Schechter, thank you. Schechter. Okay. Toda Rabba. During the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Talmud records that on Sukkot there was a tremendous celebration of Simchas Beis HaShoeiva, and the simple understanding of the historical background of this was that the institution of Nisach HaMayim, pouring the water on the Mizbeach, does not appear in Tanakh anywhere, and the Arava LaMizbeach institution also does not appear anywhere explicitly in Tanakh. These two institutions are only known through the Torah Shabbat Teh. And there were many tzedukim, baisusim, apikursim, who didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Teh. They didn't accept it. So the Chachamim made a tremendous tararam. They made a big fuss with pirsum, advertisement, to demonstrate that we do support the Torah Shabbat Teh, that we follow the Torah Shabbat Teh. And this is similar to the Mishnah in Menachos, where the Mishnah says that there were... Again, during the period of the Second Temple, the Tzedukim followed their interpretation of the Pshutu Shal Mikra, their reading of the Pshutu Shal Mikra, that Shavuos always falls out on a Sunday, that you start counting Sphira always on a Sunday, in Machas HaShabbos, and you count Sheva Shabbos as Tmima 7 full weeks, Sunday through Shabbos 7 times, and then after the 7 weeks are up, then you celebrate the holiday of Shavuos on a Sunday. A lot of the shtick from the tzedukim was carried over later by the early Christians. That's why by the Christians they celebrate Pentecost, the holiday of the 50th day, on a Sunday. Another shtick also, the Gemara quotes different practices of the tzedukim were carried over later by the early Christians. So the Mishnah says that when the Chachamim would take care of the Ktziras HaOmer, they would make a big tararam. Most of the time the Ktziras HaOmer did not take place on a Matzoi Shabbos. Most of the odds were 6-1, it's not going to happen on a Matzoi Shabbos. So they made a big fuss every time, and especially when the Ktziras HaOmer took place on a Leil Shabbos, and the Omer was brought on Shabbos morning, so they made a big fuss about everything, and they would ask 3 times, should I cut the Omer? He would say, yes. Should I use this? Should I cut the Omer? Yes. Should I cut the Omer? Yes. Should I use this sickle? Yes. Should I use this magol zeh? 3 times, everything 3 times. And if it would be on a Shabbos, then he would say, Shabbos Hayom, should I cut the grain? Even though it's Shabbos, they would say yes. Why would they repeat everything 3 times? For emphasis, to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh, that we don't follow the Tzedukim. That's why we have a practice in Shulchan Aruch, that when you do Hataras Nedarim, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that Lechatchila, the Bezin should say 3 times, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. What's wrong? Say once, Mutalach. What do you have to stutter? What do you have to say 3 times? Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. So the explanation that the Vilna Gaon quotes from the Rishonim is because the whole institution of Hataras Nedarim doesn't appear really explicitly anywhere in Tanakh. And the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Chagiga refers to Het Nedarim as Parchim Boavir. It's just transmitted from generation to generation orally. It's only transmitted through the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Gemara there in the end of the first paragraph in Chagiga seems to present the Machlokes HaTanoim, that the Mishnah says Het Nedarim Parchim Boavir means that it's purely Torah Shabbat Peh. Ve'en lehem al Meshi Yismochet. There isn't even a means whereby to derive Hataras Nedarim by reading in between the lines. There's so many drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh where you read in between the lines. So that's exactly the difference between a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai and a drusha. Halacha Moshe Mesina means a din deraisa. We have an oral tradition where there's no midah. Shatarnad Reshespem, there is no method whereby we can read this in between the lines of the Chumash. So the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Chagiga says, Hetan Adar Pachem Boavir, it's purely Halacha Moshe Mesina, Ve'elahem HaMeshe Yismochu. There's no method whereby you can read in between the lines. And then the Gemara says, other Tanaim disagree, Yeshlem HaMeshe Yismochu. And one Tana has a drosha from a pasuk in Chumash, the other one has a pasuk in Navi, the other one has a pasuk in Tilim. And Ksuvim, different psukim with different Tanaim have drushes. So it seems to be a machlekes satanaim. But in Choladeh, Hataras Ndarim is Torah Sheval Peh. It just seems to be a machlekes satanaim, whether it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, or it's a drusha where you read in between the lines. So the practice is that we say Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach three times for emphasis, to insist that we subscribe to the Torah Sheval Peh, that the Tzedukim, the Bai Susim from the period of the Bai Sheni, probably, the Talmud doesn't record it, probably would not hold from the Hataras Ndarim institution. Just parenthetically, our practice is, perhaps it's an error, our practice is that the Bezin does the Hataras Ndarim 9 times. They say, Mutalach, 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 Enkan Lai Nerev Lo Shuv, Lai Chem, Lai Nid Ve Lekarim, Lai Sham, Lai Shkan, then we say, Mutalach, Mutalach, Hakol Mutam Lecha, Kol Shurim Lecha. So we say that 3 times. And each time you say it 3 times. So what do you have to say 9 times? That's what the Achranim say. They think it's a mistake. That it says in the Siddur that you should say that Pizman 3 times. Well, you have to say the Pizman itself says 3 times. Hakol Mulchul Mulcha, Hakol Shurim Lecha, Hakol Mutam Lecha. So if you say it once, you already said 3 times. That could well be that that's a mistake. So the reason why we say 3 times the Hataras Ndarim is patterned after the Mishnah in Menachos, where the Mishnah says that when they did the Tzir Simon, they did with a big fanfare, with a big pirsum, to emphasize the fact that we do subscribe to the Torah Sheval Peh. The Tzedukim didn't believe in any of these institutions of Tzir Simon and Nisach HaMayim, and Rav Alam Izbeach and Achachamim did, so they felt that it's important to make a pirsum to emphasize the fact we do subscribe to the Torah Sheval Peh. When did all of the trouble begin? When did the people start with the apikursis? So the Mishnah in Brachos makes a statement, Mishikil Kalu Haminim, when the apikursim started to tanz, as one would say in Yiddish, and they were denying that there's such an institution as Olam Haba. The skinu, so the Chachamim introduced that in the Beis Hamikdash, whenever one recites a bracha, they should incorporate in the bracha, bracha to Hashem min ho'el me'ad ho'elam. Mogen Abraham, whatever. Bracha to Hashem min ho'el me'ad ho'elam, hakel ha'kadosh. What do you have to say min ho'el me'ad ho'elam? To emphasize the fact that we do believe in Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh you don't have to believe in. We're here. Everybody can feel it. You can touch it. But Olam Haba we can't see. We can't perceive. So they emphasize min ha'olam ha'olam that they do believe in olam haba. So when was this mishikil kol ha'minim? What point was this? The Bai Sheni lasted for several centuries. So when did this change occur? When we have historically recorded mishikil kol ha'minim? So the Mefarshim and Mishnayos point out it was the first day that the Holy Temple was open for services. It was open on Rosh Hashanah. The pasuk says that they gave. Ezra was a Kohen, and they got the first Aliyah, and they learned Kriyas HaTorah, and exactly the way we learn Kriyas HaTorah, that's exactly the way it's described in the book of Nehemiah, Perek Ches, pattern after the Kriyas HaTorah that took place there. And the Pasuk quotes the Nusach HaBracha that they said, Min Ho'elam Ad Ho'elam. So from day number one was already Mishkil Kulu Haminim. That's what the Mefarshim point out on the Mishnayos. It's very interesting. Very interesting. The Talmud has an interpretation on the prophecy in the Nevuah of Zechariah. Rashi writes Zechariah Malachi are the last three of the Treyosah. It's not a separate sefer. The whole Treyosah is a separate sefer. Zechariah is one of the Treyosah Nevim. So Rashi writes in his opening comment on Nevuah Zechariah that Zechariah's prophecies are the most obscure in Tanakh, the most difficult to understand, and if you don't have a tradition of a Torah Sheval Peh, you don't begin to understand what's going on. Flying horses and roses and all kinds of wild things, and you don't know what the Mishalim are. So there is a very strange prophecy in Zechariah. These three prophets, Chag, Zechariah, Malachi, were all contemporaries. They were all there at the beginning of the period of the Baal Sheni. There's a problem there. Also, Ezra, in the book of Ezra, he keeps on referring to his two chaverim, Haggai and Zechariah. How come he never refers to Malachi? If they were all there at the same time. So the Chazal say the answer is that that was he. Malachi is Ezra. It's the same person. So these three were contemporaries, Chagzchai, Malachi, and Ezra only refers to the other two because he was the third one. He was the Novi Malachi. And the Gemara says that Rabban Shalom is really angry at Klal Yisrael because he gave them the ability to return back to Eretz Yisrael from Galus Bavel. The 7 years of Galus Bavel were up, and they had an opportunity, everyone had an opportunity to come back. They had permission from the Goyish government, and most of the religious Jews did not go back. The Tzionim, the Zionists who went back to Eretz Yisrael at that time with them, Mamzerim and Achalolim and Agerim and Meshuchrarim and Shtuki, Asufi, all of the Kavadik Miyuchasim. Like in recent years, the people who came to Eretz Yisrael, the Zionists, most of the religious Jews decided they wanted to stay home. They weren't interested in going back. So the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Yom HaDeh, the Rabban Shalom is really very angry at Bnei Yisrael, and he decided he's not going to send any more Nevi'im to Bnei Yisrael. But his hands were tied. He had to send the three Nevi'im, Chagzchai Malachi, because he wanted to have a Beis HaMikdash built. And the Halacha requires the Sheikh Nesidush of Vasa Shama Drosh Al Pi Novi. If you're interested in building a Beis HaMikdash, you cannot just figure out archaeologically where it's supposed to be and have experts say how to design it and so on. You have to have authorization of a Navi. So they had to have Chodsh, at least one Navi. So the Baruch Shalom sent these three Navim, Chag Zchar Malachi, and the Gemara says each one testified on one aspect of the Binyan of the Bayu Sheni, and it's seen with all three together, Chag Zchar Malachi, they were authorized to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Nevuah, one of the difficult Nevuahs in the Nevuah of Zechariah, it's not a separate book, it's part of the Treyosar. One of the difficult Nevuahs, he talks about some kind of an animal that they succeeded in trapping in a metal container, and no one knows what's going on. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Yuma, that the animal that they succeeded, who is they? Who succeeded in trapping the animal? So the Gemara says, Danshei Knesset HaGdolah, the group of 120 Chachamim who were at that time, the beginning of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. What does the animal represent? What did they trap? The Risho, the physical embodiment of evil. What's the physical embodiment of evil? So the Gemara says, the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. That for years and years and years, from the times of the Matan Torah, there was a tremendous Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says in the last Perek in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, that one of the Amoraim was giving a shiur on Tanakh, and he was complaining about the kings in Tanakh. Terrible, the Ravdi Avodah Zarah. What kind of people are they? We don't worship Avodah Zarah. Look how terrible they were. So one of the other, so they gave him Musar. He had a dream, and they gave him Musar in the dream. You shouldn't speak negatively about these kings who worshipped Avodah Zarah. If you would have been alive at that time, you would have picked up your kapota, you would have also run to worship Avodah Zarah. You don't know what it's like to have a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Today, people have a Yetzirah for all kinds of other things. We know what we have Yetzirahs for. But the people in this group, I doubt, have a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says that that's after the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah succeeded in abolishing the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. But originally there was such a tremendous Yetzirah. And the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah with the Koach HaTfilah succeeded in abolishing that Yetzirah. So if there's no Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, so what's the challenge in living? So the Gemara says, no, at that time a new Yetzirah came down, the Yetzirah for Apikursis. So this success of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah in abolishing the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah occurred apparently at the time of the Binyan Bayis Sheni, right about that time, at the beginning of the building of the Bayis Sheni. That's when they succeeded in being mevatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And from that time on, there was a new Yetzirah for Minus, for Apikursis. So that's what the Mishnah says, Mishikil Kalu Haminim, when the Apikursim were denying that there's such an institution as Olam HaBo, It's Kino Chachamim. The Chachamim introduced that you should say in every Nusach HaBaruch that's recited in the Beis HaMikdash, Baruch Atah Hashem Min Ha'olam Yad Ha'olam, to be Mechazik Ve'emun and Olam Abba. That was day number one. And Bayi Sheni was riddled with apikursis from the very outset, from the very beginning. The Talmud only records, I think, one of the Rabbanim wrote in the Sefer, he collected all of the cases in the Gemara where they record the machlokes and the, if you can call it that, the disputes between the Tzdukim and the Prushim. So I think all told, it's only 16 cases. Well, Sach HaKol, it's only 16 that he recorded, but there must have been hundreds, because almost every Sif in Shulchan Aruch is based on Torah Sheba'al Peh. The big issues with Tziras HaOmer and HaParas Nagarim and these kind of things, but Al Pi Pashtus, there must have been many more machlokes. The Gemara Kiddushin has an interesting statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Lotera Tavlin. Rabbanu Shel Olam says, I created a Yetzahara, but I created, that's like a sickness that people have that causes them to sin. But he says, Barasi Lotera Tavlin, I wrote a Torah and I gave the Jewish people a Torah that if they learn the Torah, that'll serve as the antidote, that'll serve as the medication that you'll be able to control the Yetzahara. If a person learns Torah, he can control the Yetzirah. So let's say when someone is sick, so for every sickness they recommend take an aspirin. Doesn't matter whether you have a bellyache or you have a headache or you have, Rahman al-Islam, someone has cancer. Whatever you have, you take an aspirin and he gets better. You go to the drugstore, there are a million different kinds of medications. So it depends what the sickness is. So here also, if there's a different Yetzirah, so you have to have a different Torah tablet. So it would appear that the Iker Tavlin of the Torah changed during the first Kufa from Maimon HaSinai till the beginning of the period of the Bayi Sheni, when the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was still betokfa before the Anshei Knesset HaGdola succeeded in abolishing it. So the Iker Torah Tavlin that they had to serve as an antidote was really the Torah Shebichzav. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving Divrei Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, and the Tanakh was being put together by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, by the Rabbanim, they had the Koach Teharan. And then the Seder Olam, which is a history book authored by Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara quotes the Tana Rabbi Yossi Mechalafta, the Gemara quotes every so often lines from the Seder Olam. So this is one of the lines that's not quoted by the Gemara, but it's also authored by the same Tana. So in the Seder Olam, Rabbi Yossi writes, after they died, there's no more prophecy. And from now on, it says in the Seder Olam, from this time on, it's important to pay more attention to the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's how the Gemara says in Bava Basra, there are midrashim like that, based on Psukim and Novi, that Eini Son Nigolim Ela B'Schus Limud HaMishnayis. Mishnayis represents Torah Shebaal Peh. That the Iker Limud today is supposed to be in Torah Shebaal Peh. The Iker Limud years ago during the period of the Bais Rishon was Torah Shebichzav. There was always Torah Shebaal Peh. The Mishnayis record some of the drushes that were developed. The Zu Medrash Dorash Yahyod HaKoyin. Yahyod HaKoyin is a biblical figure, and the Mishnah Shkolin quotes a drusha that he made. There are many drushes that were made during the period of the Bais Rishon, but the Iker Limud during that period of time was in Torah Shebichzav, because apparently the antidote for the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah has to be paying attention mostly to the Torah Shebichzav. And then after the Anshei Knesset HaGdola succeeded in abolishing that Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, now it's a new Yetzirah, so you have to have a different refuah. Every machlas has to have a different refuah. So that's what the Seder Olam says. Mikan liyelach nada mishemesu chagas chay malachi hatoznecho shmadi rechachomim. Now the Iker Limud should be in Torah Shebaal Peh. That's how the Gemara Brochas has that one of the Tanoim instructed his students, minu b'neichem min ha-higoyon. And Rashi translates, a famous Rashi translates, you should prevent your children from learning Torah Shebichzav. Don't emphasize so much Tanakh. Doesn't mean like today the yeshivas, many yeshivas is totally neglected. That doesn't make any sense at all. The whole basis of our religion is on Tanakh. It's not just enough to be able to rattle off the 24 books of the Tanakh or the names of the 12 prophets of the Treyasa. We have to know what it says there also. We have to know Chumash, we have to know Nevi'im, we have to know Ksuv. But the main emphasis in the limud and seder limud should be, in these days, should be in Torah Shabbat Pet. That's what the Gemara says, that any soul the grow mother bischus limud hamishnais. Gam the pasuk and Novi says gam ki yitnu bagoyim atu akaptzin. Yitnu is miloshen masnisin. If they learn mishnais atu akaptzin, the Rebbeinu Shlom promises will make the kibbutz goliyos. And apparently, it would appear from the Gemara that the reason why the Iker emphasis today is supposed to be on the limud Torah Shabbat Pet is because we're working today with a different Yetzirah. If you have a different sickness, you need a different refuah, you need a different drug. So today, the antidote, the Torah Tavlin, apparently has to be the Torah Shabbat Peh. We believe, as it says in the Chumash quite a few times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Ushmartem Mitzvah Sai, Bechuk Osai, the Torah Osai, in the plural. So Rashi always explains from the Tanaim, Torah Osai in the plural means Shtei Torahs, Achas Torah Shebichzav, Achas Torah Shabbat Peh. There are two Torahs. So we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us both of the Torahs. The Rambam, in his introduction to his commentary on Mishnayos, divides the Torah Shabbat Peh into different categories. He says there are different sections to the Torah Shabbat Peh. So he writes that there's one area that's clearly Torah Shabbat Peh. That's Halacha L'Moshe Misina. That's what the Mishnah in the end of the first paragraph, Chagigah, coined an expression, Parchas Bo'avir, a din that's just transmitted orally from one generation to the other, floating in the air, because the words just float. The wave sounds are just floating. There's no way to derive it by reading in between the lines in the Pesukim. Then there's another part of Torah Shabbat Peh, that's the drushes. The drushes, how come here it's in the singular, here it's in the plural, here it's a zocha, here it's nekevo, here it's the construction is a little strange. And so on. All the midrash atarin and reshes bam, how the chachamim read in between the lines of the chumash in order to kvetchais more dinim. It's interesting, the issue of the nisul chamayim is a big dispute in the Gemara. There are three different opinions. What is the source of this, if at all? Is there any source in chumash for the nisul chamayim institution? So the Gemara quotes three different opinions among the Tanoim. One Tana says that it's halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gemara quotes nisuch hamayim and harav ala mizbeach and tosef shvi, it says in the tis, it's tosef shmita. It's purely halacha l'moshe misinai. The next two Tanoim disagree and they say it's not true. The nisuch hamayim is not halacha l'moshe misinai. That would be parchas bo'avir ve'in lehem al-meshe yismoko. It's not just that it's transmitted orally from generation to generation, there's no way to derive it from the Pesukim. Not true. The other two Tanaim disagree. They say, no, there is a source, there is a method to derive it by fetching in between the Pesukim, but they have a disagreement. What is the source? So one Tana says the source is that it says, Unesocheho. On the Yom HaShishi, it says, Unesocheho, in the plural. So it refers to the two Nisuchim when you bring the Tomet Shel Shachar in the morning, each day of Sukkot. So the Hakrobas HaTamid is Mechayev, normally Hakrobas HaTamid is Mechayev in Nisach HaYayin. And on the occasion of Sukkot, on the end of Sukkot, Hakrobas HaTamid is Mechayev in both Nisuch and Nisach HaMayim as well as Nisach HaYayin. And the third Tana is of the opinion that it's based on the Oisiyos of Mem Yud Mem. This is not a Balaturim, it's not a Chassidish Rebbe speaking. This is one of the Tanaim and the Gemara says. That it says, one Pesach it says, what does it say? The Niskehem. The other pasuk says in a Sacheho, you have an extra yud. And the other pasuk says Kimishpatom, you have an extra mem. So you have a mem yud mem that spells out mine. The Gemara points out that there are differences halacha l'maisa than afkaminis ledina, whether you hold that it's halacha l'maisa misinai or you hold that it's a drasha. There is a Gemara in the end of Zvachim. The last two prokim in Zvachim talk about shechet bachutz and mala bachutz. There are two prohibitions in Parshas Amor. One is not permitted to shech the korban chutz la'azara. One is not permitted to be makar the korban on a boma, chutz la'mizbeach. And if one does so, so one is chayv karis. That's a serious aver. If one violates an aver b'shegeg, which if he would have violated the mezid, it would have been karis, so the din requires he has to bring a korban chatos. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim in the end of Zochim. What if one does niso chamayim? Chutz Lazar, a person makes a boma, and he starts pouring water, amanasech mayim bechag, meyachag bechag. He pours nisach hamayim on a boma, chutz Lazar. Is he chayv kares b'mezid? The Bezon Shalmaila will determine that, but is he chayv chatas b'shegeg? If he did it, if he's chayv koris memezid, then he's chayv chatas b'shegeg. If he's not chayv koris memezid, then he's not chayv chatas b'shegeg. So the Gemara sounds like it says that it depends on the machlekes satanayim. What is the source? What is the source for nisach hamayim? Why does it depend what the source is? So Tosis says they don't understand the Gemara. Why should it make a difference? So there's a famous Pirush HaMishnayos La Rambam at the end of Svachim where the Rambam explains. He says he knows the Pshat and the Gemara. So the Rambam writes something very fascinating. He says that if the whole korban of Nisach HaMayim is only known through Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, it cannot be that there's Koris on that. There's no punishment of Koris on any Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. A flat state. There's never any. Koris has to say Chumash at this Koris. Eat on Yom Kippur, eat Chumash B'Pesach, eat Malacha B'Shabbos. That's Koris, says in Chumash. V'chule, v'chule. All the Lama love creases on Moriz Batar. But there's no way to develop a Koris, Yesh Me'ayin, if something is only known through Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. How can you say that there's Koris on that? Masheni Kein, the Rambam says, if one should assume that the existence of this korban of Nisach HaMayim is not based on purely Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, but it's based on a drasha from the Midrash HaTorned Reshes Bam, either the Mem Yud Mem or the Unisocheha, the plural. So then the Rambam says, according to those two Tanoim, it's shaykh that there should be Koris. That's a drasha. So it's shaykh that there would be Koris on it. Very interesting Rambam. There's such a fascinating Ran in Masechet Shabbos, writes about the nature of the din of Marbidal Aramis Bishus Arabim. The Gemara says that all of the 39 malachas that are forbidden on Shabbos and on Yom Tov we have a Heterach HaNevesh, but basically when there's no Heterach HaNevesh, all the 39 malachas on Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, how do we establish which activities are included in the list of malachas that are forbidden on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, whatever was in the Mishkan. So the Gemara says on the first daf in Baba Kama, whatever was some significant activity in Asiyas HaMishkan constitutes an Amalach. So the Gemara says all 39 activities were there b'shas Asiyas HaMishkan. Carrying Dalan Amas b'shu Sarab, the Gemara says, didn't exist in the Mishkan. So where did it come from? So why is it forbidden at all? So the Gemara says Gemara Gemiri Lo. And the Balei HaTosis learn Gemara Gemiri Lo, that's a question what that expression means. So Rashi and Tosis and the Rosh always translate Gemara Gemiri Lo means that that's also Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. The Gemara sometimes says Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, the Gemara sometimes says Gemara Gemiri Lo. So the Tosis and Rashi and Rosh always assume that that's Hainuach. Gemara Gemiri Lo is the same. And Itziv points out in his Hakdomah to his long commentary on the Shiltas, he has a very beautiful Hakdomah that's called Kidmas HaEmek. Originally, when the first volume of the Netziv's commentary on the Shiltas was published on Bereshis and Shmos, so he published the first third of the introduction in Europe when it was printed. Then when he printed a second volume on Vayikra, so he printed the second third of the introduction. Then when he printed the third volume on Bamidbar and Dvarim, so he printed the third part of the third installment of the introduction. The second is a Hemshech of the first, and the third installment is a Hemshech of the second. Now in Eretz Yisrael, the Mosad Rav Kook printed the whole Hakdamah together, and that's how it belongs. They printed the whole, all the three parts of the Hakdamah. So it looks very funny. Why is Kidmas HaEmek Aleph Kidmas HaEmek? Why is Aleph Beis Gimel? Every paragraph goes with a number. But they just reprinted it the way it was printed originally in Europe. They just put all the three parts of the introduction together on one book. So it looks funny now why there's a Kidmas HaEmek HaRishon, Kidmas HaEmek HaSheni, and Kidmas HaEmek HaShlishi. Anyway, that introduction is not so much an introduction to the Shiltas or an introduction to his commentary on the Shiltas than it's his commentary. It's rather an introduction to the whole body of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So he talks a lot what the Torah Shabbat Peh is all about. And he has many side points, many footnotes there. So one of the side points is on this topic. What is the expression Gemara Gemiri Lami? So he points out the Rambam in his introduction to the Pirush HaMishnayos, in the beginning of Brachos, divides all of Torah Shabbat Peh into five different parts. And then he says the first part is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, and he's going to give you a full list of all of the Halachas L'Moshe Mitzinai. And the list is by far not complete. And the Chavis Yair has a famous tshuva where he says the Rambam left out two-thirds of the list. He only has one-third. Many, many, many more halachas l'mayshim b'sinai. He quotes all the Gemaras all over the place. So then it points out that he gets the impression from the Rambam that whenever it says Gemara Gemiri law, the Rambam understood that that does not mean halachas l'mayshim b'sinai. The Rambam left out every single Gemara that the Gemara says Gemara Gemiri law. The Rambam doesn't include it in the halachas l'mayshim b'sinai. This thing, when you look in the Mishnah Torah l'Harambam, when he quotes such a Gemara that says this is Gemara Gemiri law, the Rambam will write Mipi Hashmua Lomdu. So what does that mean? So the Netziv says what it means is Gemara Gemiri law, Gemara always discusses what is the source for the dinim that appear in the Mishnayos. Where does it say? So the Gemara either quotes a pasuk in Tanakh, or the Gemara quotes a pasuk and makes a drasha, fetches eyes reading in between the lines. Or the Gemara will sometimes say, Halacha l'mayshim b'sinai, we have an oral tradition. Or the Gemara will sometimes say, Gemara Gemiri law means we have a tradition that this was derived from reading in between the lines. This was derived generations earlier, but we forgot what the source is. He says that's how the Rambam apparently understood Gemara Gemiri law means pi hashmu alamdu, means that the rabbis a few centuries ago established this din by reading, by fetching eyes from reading in between the lines, and at the time that the Talmud Babli was written, they forgot what exactly the source is. But that's not called Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. Halacha Moshe M'Sinai means when there's no remez in the pasuk, when there's no midrash hatarnit rosh hashem to figure it out. So the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnah, at the end of his Zvachim, writes that there's a major difference between the first Tana and the next two Tana. According to the first Tana, that Nisach HaMayim is Halacha Moshe M'Sinai, so if one would do Nisach HaMayim Chutz Lebeis HaMikdash, there would not be any chorus. You can't have any chorus on Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. So the Ran in Masechah Shabbos seems to say something very similar to the Rambam. The Ran is commenting on this Gemara, where the Gemara says all the 39 malachas were in the Mishkan, except for carrying Dalet Amos B'Shusharan. So the Gemara says, what is it based on? So the Gemara says, Gemara Gemiri law. So Rashi in Tosfos learns Gemara Gemiri law means Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. And the Ran also learns like that. Perhaps the Netziv is right, perhaps the Rambam did not understand like that. Perhaps the Rambam understood Gemara Gemiri law means that this was established many years earlier, based on some kind of Midrash HaTarnid Rosh Hashem, which was forgotten in the later generations. But Rashi and Tosfos, the regular standard Rishonim, learned that Gemara Gemiri law means the same as Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So the Ran has a famous comment on the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Gimel in Masechet Shabbos, when the Mishnah lists off all of the 39 Ovis Malachas. So the Ran says, what kind of a Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is this, carrying Dalet Amos B'Shusharan? What's the nature of this Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai? So he says, Ran postulates a klal on Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, he never get any malchus, he never get any misa, and there's never any chorus. How does he know? There's never any malchus, that we could have figured out also, because malchus you only get if you violate an avera that's similar to los achsim shor bedisha, because in Chumash Dvarim we darshan smuchim, and the pasuk v'hayom din akosa rosha appears right next to the pasuk of los achsim shor bedisha. So the Gemara says that's the assumption of all the tanoim, that in order to get malchus you have to violate an avera that's similar to los achsim shor bedisha. Has to be similar in the style, the way it's written in the Chumash, and similar in the nature of the aver. So if it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, it's not written at all in the Chumash. So Rashi writes like that. Everybody agrees to that. When you have an Issa that's only known through Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, there isn't going to be any Malkus. That we understand because it's not similar to Los Achsim Shabbadisha. How does the Ran know that on Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai there's no Misa? There's no rule where you get Misa. A Malkus, there's a rule. It has to be similar to Los Achsim Shabbadisha. A Misa, there is no rule. So why can't there be Misa if Mabed Avraham is B'Shusar Amas Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai? Why can't there be Misa? Why can't there be Koris? The Ran poses a question. If one carries Avraham is B'Shusar Amas B'Shegeg on Shabbos is Chai V'Chatos, how can there be Chai V'Chatos? Why there's no Koris B'Mezit? So how can there be, how does he know there's no Koris if you violate Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai? So apparently the Ran is making an assumption over here along the lines of that Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, that on Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai never have any onshim. A general rule, no onshim at all. No koris and no misa and no malchus. Not only no malchus because it's not similar to Los Achsim Shabbadisha. No onshim at all. So that's why he's bothered with the question, how can it be over here by Mabed Dalet Amos? You do have. On Yontif, one is Mabed Dalet Amos, he'll get malchus. On Shabbos, he'll get misa. And if he does it, the mezid b'li hasra, he'll be chayv karis, and if he does b'shegik, he'll be chayv chatos. So how can it be? So the man explains it's a different kind of halacha l'moshe misina. The halacha l'moshe misina, he declares that every person who's not with Al Ramas is considered as if he's motzi mishus l'shus, and he gives a whole elaboration on that, why that should be the case. But it's interesting that the Ran is making the same assumption. He doesn't refer to this Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis, the end of Zvachim, but he's making the same assumption that we never give any onshim on the halacha l'moshe misina. Not only no malchus, there's no kores and there's no miso. It's interesting, Radavala Soloveitchik points out that there seems to be a difference between the other two Tanaim as well. The two Tanaim who feel that Nisach HaYayin is not halacha l'moshe misinai, but one says it's learned out from the mem yud mem, and the other Tana says it's learned out from the words unis, from the word unisocheho, that the hakrovas tomis al shachar is mechayv in two nisuch, and all year long hakrovas atomis is mechayv only in one nisuch, and on sukkis hakrovas tomis al shachar is mechayv in two nisuch. So there seem to be two differences. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses what's the din of a sefer wrote a sefer Torah. And we know that there's a mem psuch and there's a mem stuma. When the mem appears in the middle of a word, it's written one way. If the mem appears at the end of the word, then it's written ashlos mem. Mem sofit, it's written differently. What if the sefer made a mistake and he only knows how to write a box? He only knows how to write a mem sofit. He puts, every time there's a mem chumish, he puts a mem sofit. So the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that it's puzzle. The sefer Torah, the Tefillin, and the Mezuzah are puzzle. Because the pasuk says in Kriyat Shema Uchsav Tom al Mezuzas Beisecha B'Sharecha, so the Gemara makes a drasha Uchsav Tom Pashib Shat Uchsav Tom Uchsav Tem Osam. You should write this parsha. You should write all the words in this parsha. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. Uchsav Tom means a ksiva tama, that it should be a nice ksav. That if the Chacham writes Mem Sofit instead of a Mem Psucha, Mem Psucha instead of a Mem Stuma, so the whole Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah will be posted. So the Gemara says, that's only what that Tana says. That's how we pass it. That's how that Tana says. But there's a Tana who disagrees. The Tana who darshins Mem Yud Mem. What do you mean? But the first Mem was Viniskehem. So you're using a Mem Sofis to write the word Mayim. So, well, you know, we always thought that those are Remes and Asmachta, like a Balatur, Machsidish Ereb, Avertel. The Gemara takes it seriously. The Gemara says, no, it's not Asmachta. This is the drasha, the mem yud mem. And the fact that the Tana uses a mem sofis for the first mem, for the first letter of the word mayim, is an indication that he disagrees with the other. Tana holds that if you write a sefer Torah and you put a mem stuma where it was supposed to be a mem psucha, it'll be kosher. It'll be kosher b'diyevet, b'chatzila na. Otherwise, if he would hold that it's possible, so he wouldn't be able to darshan mem yud mem to indicate mayim. So the Gemara says, well, the other Tana, who learns it out from an istochero, or the other Tana who says that it's halacha l'moshe misina, he can say the way we paskin, that if you put a mem stuma where it didn't belong, where there's supposed to be a mem psucha, that it will be possible b'dieved. That's how we assume l'halach. So the Gemara says this, nafkamina l'dina, whether you're darshaning, if you darshan mem yud mem, then you're subscribing to the theory that if you put a mem stuma instead of a mem psucha, it'll be a kosher sefer Torah b'dieved. It's interesting, Rav Avraham Soloveitchik points out that the Yerushalmi has several sveikas regarding Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos. The din normally is, let's say we brought a Korban Tamid today on a normal Sunday and we didn't have any wine to pour the Nisach HaYayim. So do you say, Abba Yama Batal Korbana? So the Gemara says, no, we learn that from a Pasuk, Menachas Meniskeim Afilu Mikan Vara Asara Yamin. You can bring the Nisach HaYayim for today's Korban, you can bring it 10 days later. And the Gemara even has a discussion. Today is Sunday, so the Shir Shal Yom, the Levim are supposed to sing a Shir Shal Yom when the Kohanim are pouring the wine for the Nisach HaYayin. So what if they're going to bring the Nisach HaYayin for today's Tomid Shal Shachar in another 3 weeks on a Wednesday? So which Shir Shal Yom do they say? Wednesdays or Sundays? So the Gemara is not sure. A discussion in the Gemara. So Kendall Zan, you're going to bring a Nisach HaYayin on Wednesday and say a Sunday Shir Shal Yom, because this belongs to 5 Sundays ago. It belongs to 20 years ago. We forgot to do a Nisach HaYayin, so we'll bring it another 20 years when we'll as Medetzach Damon. So the Rishami raises a question, does the Nisach HaMayim have to really take place on Sukkot? Maybe you can say Tefillah Mikan V'Arasar Yamim. They'll do Nisach HaMayim on Chanukah to make up for the lack of doing Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot. Is that legitimate? So Yishalmi is not sure. So Rav Elbala says that's it. Yishalmi meant to say, which drasha are you learning out from? If you're learning out from Unisachero, if the source for the Nisach HaMayim is from the Pasuk Unisachero, then it has the same din as the Nisach HaYayim. Nisach HaYayim is the din Nikan Barasara Yamim. You can bring it 10 days later, you can bring it 10 months later, you can bring it 10 years later. It does make sense. I mean, they didn't find any water in 10 years. By then, they'll already get some water. So a couple of days later, so it's possible to fulfill, according to the opinion that Nisach HaMayim, the source for the institution, the source for the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, is from the word Unisachero. So just like you can do the Nisach HaYayin after Sukkot is over, we'll say Havdalah after Simchas Torah, and then we'll do the Nisach HaYayin, so you can do the Nisach HaMayim also after Sukkot is over. But if you learn out from the Nem Yud Mem, it's not a word that this is the Nisach that comes Machmas Korban HaTomin. Not that HaKrovas HaTomin is Mechayiv and Nisach, and Nisach can be done whenever you have an opportunity, whenever Azman Da Monsach. No! We learn out Nem Yud Mem that it's a Chavis HaYayim. And if you didn't do the Nisach HaMayim today, it's over Yom HaBotul Korbanon. So that's the Sufik in the Yerushalmi. Similarly, the Yerushalmi had a Sufik. What if the Kohanim were eager beavers, and they run and they do the Nisach HaMayim on the Mizbeach before they shech the tummy, before they makriv the tummy? So what if they'll do Nisach HaYayim before they makriv the tummy? They won't be yaitzim with that. That'll be a nice korban, Nisach HaYayim. You can bring Yayin as a korban b'fnei atzmo. But then, if they first did Nisach HaYayim on a regular day, not on Sukkot, if they first did Nisach HaYayim, and then they do Hakrovas HaTamid, and say, after they do Hakrovas HaTamid, that's Mechayiv to do Nisach HaYayin again. They weren't yet with the first Nisach HaYayin. They weren't yet Nischaivu in the Nisach HaYayin until they do the Hakrovas HaTamid. So that's the also suffix in the Yerushalmi. What would the din be? We know what the Seder HaDvarim is. The Seder HaDvarim is L'chatkin, the first to bring the Tamid Shal Shachar. Then you do the Nisach HaMayim and the Nisach HaYayin simultaneously. You have two Kohanim pouring, each one pouring with his right hand. Not like this, with the right hand and left hand. You have to have a right-handed Kohanim pouring with their right hands. A left-handed Kohen can't do Avodah. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Rashi has two pshatim. Why? One pshat is that he's a Balmum. It's a heartbreaking. A Kohen, a lefty, is a Balmum. It's very hard to believe. Then there's a Mishnah that says that if a boy married a girl and he didn't know that the girl had a mum, so it's an issue of Kiddusha Toys. So what constitutes a mum? So the Mishnah says, whatever is a mum for Kohanim is a mum for marriage. Meaning, the girl was a lefty. The boy didn't know that the girl was a lefty. It's Kiddush, there's something wrong, it can't be. So that's why we usually assume, not like that pshat in Rashi, that a left-handed coin is nishkin bal mum. It's not a mum. It's a din. The avodah has to be done with the right hand, and the right hand means this side of the body has to be the stronger of the two arms. So if he's a lefty, he simply doesn't have alpidin. He doesn't have a right hand. Because it has to be the right hand, this side of the body, plus it should be the stronger of the two arms. That's why a left-handed kohen can't do avodah. It's hard to say that a left-handed person is a balmum. The tupshot and the Rashi. So again, so the Yerushalmi has a suffix. What if the... Normally, the Seder HaDvarim is that after they bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, two right-handed kohanim will pour the Nisach HaMayim and the Nisach HaYayin down the pipes on the Mizbeach, down the Shishin simultaneously. So Yishalmi raises the question, what would the din be b'diyevet? Normally, l'chatkila, we know that's the Seder HaDvarim. What would the din be b'diyevet if they poured the Nisach HaMayim before they offered the Tamid Shel Shachar? Is it a Chavis HaYayim? So even if you bring them before the Tamid Shel Shachar, it's also good, like if a person brought the Musaf before the Tamid Shel Shachar. B'diyevet, it says that it's good. So the Nisach HaMayim can take place before, it'll also be good b'diyevet. Or should I say no? It's learned out from Unisachero. If you do the Nisach HaYayim before you do the Tamid Shel Shachar, it'll be a kosher Nisach HaYayim. It'll be an acceptable korban, but you won't be yotzei the mitzvah of Unisachero. Menchasen is kein kemeduber. First, you have to bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, then become nischayv in the Nisach HaYayim, and then bring the yayin. You can't bring the yayin before the Tamid and be yotzei with that chiyuv. So that's these two sveikas in the Yerushalmi. Can you do the Nisach HaMayim on Chanukah months later, and can you do it on Purim? Can do you say that just like Nisach HaYayin can be done weeks later and months later, so too Nisach HaMayim can also be done months later? Or does it have to dafke be done on Sukkah? So these two Shaivas in Yerushalmi, what if you did the Nisach HaMayim before the Akrab is Tom Shoshachar? And can you do it next week after Sukkah is over? So Rabbeinu Soloveitchik explains in the Shiurim that this depends on these two opinions in the Tanaim. Whether the drasha, whether the mocker for Nisach HaMayim is the Pasuk on the Sachecha, or the mocker is the Pasuk, the Mem Yud Mem. So it really is crucial which is the source of the institution of Nisach HaMayim. Is it known through Halacha L'Moshe Misina? Is it known through on the Sachecha? Or is it known through the Mem Yud Mem with the, all of the Nafkaminis LaHalacha? There is another difference, la'alocha, in general, between a halacha l'moshe misinai and a din of the Torah Shabbat Peh, which we darshan by reading in between the lines. There is a gemara in the end of the first parak in Kedushin where the gemara discusses the institution of orla b'chutz la'aretz. The pasuk in Chumash says in Parshas Kedoshim, Kisavoyel ha'aretz and etatem kol eitz machel. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, you plant a tree. Ba'aralt ma'alosa shalosh shana ma'arem yelachem lo yeyachal ba'ashana arviz yeh kol piri kodesh elulam ha'ashem. There's a din of orla. What about orla b'chutz la'aretz? There's no pasuk in Chumash. It says Kisavoyel ha'aretz. So the Mishnah in Kedoshim says that all of the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah tli yivos only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Except for Orla. Chutz min Orla. Orla applies even in Chutz Lo. So Gemara says, where did this come from? And the Pasuk in Chumash, it only says that Orla applies in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara has a machlokes amarayim. One amar is of the opinion that Orla b'chutz Lo, it's only with the Rabbanon, Hilchas Medina. And one amar is of the opinion that Orla b'chutz Lo, it's halachal moshe misina. That's how the Rambam follows that. So the Gemara says there should be a big difference. What's the din of Sofik? What if you have a fruit in Chutz Lo? And you're not sure whether it's Orla or not. See, if Orla b'chutz la'aretz is only with the Rabbanon, so you should say Safik the Rabbanon l'kula. But if Orla b'chutz la'aretz halacha l'moshe misina means that is their Isa, so Safik Orla b'chutz la'aretz should be l'chumra. And the din is, there's a Mishnah that says in Mishnah is Orla, that Safik Orla b'chutz la'aretz is mutter. So how can it be mutter if it's halacha l'moshe misina, should be Safik the Isa l'chumra? So the Gemara answers, Kach ne'emer halacha. That's a part of the package of the halacha l'moshe misina. Vada osir. It's fake a mutter. That the Sofik Orla b'chutz la'aretz is a mutter is part of the halacha l'moshe misina. So the Ramban, in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, attacks the Rambam very strongly. That the Rambam understood that Gemara, Sofik Orla b'chutz la'aretz mutter, kach nemer halacha, that's part of the package of the halacha l'moshe misina. That vado also is fake a mutter, doesn't only apply to Orla b'chutz la'aretz. The Rambam says that it applies to every halacha l'moshe misina. That every safek halacha l'moshe misina is l'kula. So the Ramban taina said that's scandalous. What is he talking about? Halacha l'moshe misina is a real din deraisa. Safek deraisa l'chumra. The Gemara just said that there's one from all of the many, many halachas l'moshe misina. There's one, namely Orla b'chutz la'aretz, what we say, that safek Orla b'chutz la'aretz is l'hakam. How did the Rambam come up to say that every Safek halacha l'moshe misina is lahakil? The Gemara only said it by Orla. So that's the Ramban's disagreement with the Rambam. So the later Achronim point out, they're not sure exactly where is this Rambam that the Ramban is attacking. The Rambam doesn't exist. The Rambam is not in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And they don't know exactly where it says it in the Mishnah Torah. So it's a phantom Rambam. The Ramban is attacking the Rambam that the Rambam said, innocent. Where the Rambam didn't say anything. Where did the Rambam say that a safek halacha l'moshe misina, every safek halacha l'moshe misina is l'kula? So the later Achreinim already discovered the Rambam. There's a sefer by one of the Sfaradish Gedolim from the Al-Ghazi family. Very interesting sefer. Every 50 years it's reprinted. Sefer, the title of the sefer is Ara Derabbanan. So it was written in the 1700s when the Jews started writing encyclopedias, alphabetically arranged. The Chidor wrote the encyclopedias, and the Pachad Yitzchok has his encyclopedia, Lamprenti, and others wrote Yad Malachi is an encyclopedia, alphabetically arranged, and other Gdolim at that time, starting in the 1700s, it occurred to them to write encyclopedias, alphabetically arranged. instead of just writing Shtikla third. So the one of the Al-Ghazi family has a Sefer Ara de Rabbanan where he goes alphabetic, goes Aleph to Tav. He lists off every din in the Gemara and he tells you, is it a din de Raisa, is it a din de Rabbanan, or is it a Machlokes? And he gives you all the sources. So he discusses this topic also. Where is the Rambam that the Ramban was attacking? Where in the world did the Rambam say that every Sufik halacha l'moshe misinai is l'kula? The early Achronim were not aware of the Rambam. So he says it's a Rambam in Hilchas Mikvois. The Mishnah says in Mikvois that a mikveh has to have 40 saw. And if somebody was tevil in a mikveh and he's not sure if the mikveh had 40 saw or not, so he has to be tevil again, because the need, the requirement for 40 saw in a mikveh is a din deraisa and safik deraisa l'chumra. So the Rambam writes, even though the shiur of mem saw is only shiurim, is shiurim halacha l'moshe misinai, and he sounds like he's asking akasha that a safik halacha l'moshe misinai should really be l'kula. That's what his kasha, the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, when he quotes that Mishnah from Mikvois, so he sounds like he's bothered with this kasha. Why does the Mishnah say that if a person was told in a mikveh, safik yesh bo memso, safik ein bo memso, lay also lo tvilo, that you say safik deraisa lechumre, but the need for the memso is only halacha moshe misinai. All the shiurim are halacha moshe misinai. The Marash says shiurim, chatzitzim, mechitzim, halacha moshe misinai. So the Rambam says it's a different kind of halacha moshe misinai. He says here the halacha moshe misinai is defining what the pasuk in Chumash means. The pasuk says a person is tummy has to be tovel in a mikveh. So the halacha moshe misinai says that mikveh that's spoken of in the Chumash in the Torah Shabbosav has to have memso. But if you have a halacha moshe misinai that's an independent halacha moshe misinai, that's not that it's interpreting pshat in a pasuk in Chumash, like all the b'chutzlots or anything like that, then the Rambam is mashma that every sofik halacha moshe misinai would be l'kula. So it's interesting, the Rambam clearly assumes that there are at least two major differences between a din of the Torah Shabbal Peh that's known through halacha moshe misinai as opposed to a din of the Torah Shabbal Peh that's nidrash by reading in between the lines. The first nafkamin we said was the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis and the end of Zvachim, where the Rambam says you can't have a punishment of Koris. One who's menasech mehachag bechag bachutz, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, is Yichayev Koris, is Yichayev Chatas B'Shegeg, for Mala Bachutz or not. So the Rambam understood in the Gemara that it depends. If it's Halacha Moshe Messina, there is no Koris. You can't have a Koris on Halacha Moshe Messina. But if it's learned that for the Midrash HaTor and the Reshes Bem, then there would be Koris. And the second half Kamina the Rambam holds is whether Sofik Lechumer. On a Sofik Halacha Moshe Messina, the Rambam's opinion, the Ramban is Masig on the Rambam, but the Rambam's opinion is that every Safik Halacha Moshe Messina should be the Kula, except if the Halacha Moshe Messina is coming to interpret Pshat and a Pasik, as opposed to another din of the Torah Shabbat Peh, we are darshaning by reading in between the lines, that would be a real din deraisa. There you would certainly say that Safik deraisa lechumra. The Rambam writes yet, the Rambam has five categories of Torah Shabbat Peh, we'll just concentrate on three. So the Rambam has the first category of Torah Shabbat Peh is Halacha Moshe Misinai. That's literally Parchas Ba'avir. It's just transmitted from generation to generation. And as the Mishnah uses the expression, the end of the first paragraph of Chagiga, Eilehem al-Meshi Yismochu. There's no method whereby to derive this din by reading in between the lines of the Chumash. And then you have the Midrash HaTorah and Rashi Spam. And then the Rambam has another category of Torah Shabbat Peh, all of the dinim derabbanan. What do you mean? All the dinim derabbanan, that's midirabbanan. That's not minatur. So how does that become, what does it mean that that's part of the Torah Shabbat Peh? Dinim derabbanan, adirabbanan. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik, when he gave the shiur Maria, spent many, many, many years learning brachas. Most of brachas deals with dinim derabbanan. Then he spent quite a few years learning Megillah. And most, the Ruba, Masechas Megillah deals with dinim derabbanan. So I remember after spending so many years on all of these dinim derabbanan, so he posed the question in one of the shiurim that why did we spend so much time learning dinim derabbanan, which on the level of the rice are non-existence of minat Torah, it's really bittul Torah. It's only Talmud Torah midirabbanan. Why do we learn zvachim and menachas that has like 95% of it is dinim derabbanan? You have a couple of dinim derabbanan here and there also, but it would have been less bittul Torah derabbanan and more Talmud Torah midirabbanan. So he said, it rubs him the wrong way to say like that. He can't believe that when you learn Dinim Derabbanan, it's Minat Torah, it's Bittul Torah, it's only Talmud Torah Derabbanan. He can't believe that. So he developed a theme that all of the Dinim Derabbanan become a Cheftz of Torah Shebal Peh Medeiraisa. So although the Chayvus HaGarah to observe the Dinim Derabbanan, the obligation to observe the Dinim Derabbanan is only Medeiraisa, but it becomes a Chelek of Torah Shebal Peh Minat Torah. So whoever learns these Dinim Derabbanan is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Min HaTorah. How can you draw such a distinction between you fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Min HaTorah by learning the Din of the Rabbanon, but the obligation to observe these Din of the Rabbanon, the obligation to observe it is only with the Rabbanon. How can he say such a thing? So he gave as a dugma, as a mashal, the Gemara says, regarding the many disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we know in advance we're going to pass them like Beis Hillel. We know the Beis Shammai were outvoted. So the Gemara says, when we study the opinions of Beis Shammai, we shouldn't consider it bittul Torah. The Gemara says, "Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim." What do you mean, "Elu v'elu"? Doesn't mean you can do whatever you don't please. The Gemara says, "Also k'divrei Beis Shammai, also v'leklum." We absolutely do not paskan like Beis Shammai. Even b'shas atchak, you cannot be mitzar Beis Shammai shita to anything. We paskan like Beis Hillel. So what do you mean, "Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim"? Means when a person studies Gemara and he's studying a whole sugi where they're going to discuss the opinions of Beis Shammai, he shouldn't think that that's bittul Torah at all. No, that's it's a cheftza shel Torah, even though there's no cheftza agavra at all, even though you're forbidden to follow Beis Shammai. You're not allowed to follow Beis Shammai, but it constitutes a cheftza shel Torah. So it's nishgefelach to say that the dinim derabbanan become a cheftza shel Torah min haTorah. When one studies these dinim derabbanan, he's in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Medaraisa, even though the Chavis HaGavra to observe these dinim is clearly not going to be Min HaTorah. The Chavis HaGavra to observe it is clearly only Min HaRabbanon. That's how Rav Soloveitchik explained. The Gemara says many times, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, Kein Deraisa Tikkun. When the Chachamim institute a Din Derabbanon, they have to be careful to pattern all the Dinim Derabbanon after Dinim Deraisa. Why? Why do you have to be so careful to pattern after Dinim Deraisa? The answer is because these Dinim Derabbanan are going to become a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh. And Aloha assumes that all of Torah blends in to constitute one big mosaic, one big system. So if you're going to institute Dinim Derabbanan that don't fall under any category Deraisa, it's not patterned after any Din Deraisa, how's it going to become a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh and HaTorah? So that's why the Chachamim insisted, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, Kein Deraisa Tikkun. And you have several sugyas where the Gemara quotes Dinim Derabbanan to demonstrate what a Din Deraisa was. And the fact that the Chachamim made such a Din Derabbanan is a Hechacha, that before they made that Din Derabbanan, there was originally a Din Deraisa XYZ. And based on that Din Deraisa, that's why they had a right to pattern this Din Derabbanan after that. So just in summary, the celebration of Simchas Beis HaShoeva is assumed to be a historical celebration where the entire Klal Yisrael would declare their allegiance to the Torah Shebal Peh, and it was instituted at the time that they had the Tzdukim and the Baisusim who were denying the existence of the Torah Shebal Peh. So the rest of the Klal Yisrael would be mechazeged by dancing and singing and tumbling the whole sukkahs to demonstrate that they do subscribe. And that's why Hillel in the Mishnah is quoted as saying, the Gemara quotes, Hillel was a very humble person, and nonetheless when it came to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, he was dancing and singing and said, "Ani kan, hakol kan. If I'm here, then everything is okay." Well, what do you mean, if I'm here, everything is okay? Because he represented Torah Shebal Peh. So he said, if I'm the center of attraction, then we're in good hands. A good answer.